In his ministry, Jesus was asked 187 questions, and he only responded to a few of them with any kind of answer. Instead, Jesus responded by asking questions. He asked a whopping 307 of them. Most of these questions were asked to make people think and consider and look beyond the normal expectations, think and consider new ways of looking at things and experiencing life. 307 questions. That'd take over 3 years to go through all of them, one a Sunday. Don't worry, we're not gonna do that. But we are gonna look this summer, the next three Sundays here in August, at three of Jesus's questions. Would you pray with me? Lord God Almighty, move among us this day so that we, your people, may always feel and sense your divine power and presence. For we need to know that we are never alone. And speak to us this day in such a way that we may always hear, understand, and remember. Give us your word by which you mold and shape our living. For we need your word to live eternally. In Jesus' name, amen. Last night, a member of the church, Jill Severson, posted on Facebook about how her daughter was so very precocious when she was growing up, so very talkative, sharing all sorts of things in the children's sermon time. Things that probably shouldn't be shared. And she said, aren't you just glad that she's no longer here to do that? And, you know, frankly, no, I wish she were. I think that would be wonderful. I always asked annoying questions of the pastors that pastor the churches that I was a member of as a child. My favorite question was always, why? Why? I used to drive mom and dad nuts asking constantly, repeatedly, over and over and over again, why? Well, what Jill shared about her daughter reminds me of little Amy, a darling girl who was a member of one of my earliest appointments, always asking questions, always making comments, many of which were not necessarily appropriate, frequently very funny. She was always the star of the show. We all know people just like her, and she knew it. And that's how it was supposed to be. One Sunday, I was going to be preaching on this very passage about not judging others. And I was trying to deal with it during the time with young friends. Only she was strangely quiet the whole way through. She kept staring at me, following my gaze, looking at me intently, never asking a question, never interrupting, never doing anything, just sitting there staring closely and intently in my eyes. When I got done with the children's message and I asked if there were any questions, Amy's hand went up. I said, "Yes, Amy." And she immediately jumped up and grabbed my head and looked me close in the eyes. She then turned and looked out at her mom and dad and said, "Nope." "Is something wrong?" I asked. And Amy replied matter-of-factly, "This morning when we sat down in church, mommy said that you must have a whole tree in your eye." "Did you see a tree?" I asked. And she said, "Nope, just your glasses and me and those, but nope, no trees anywhere." Oh, what a wonderful girl. Thank God she didn't see any trees. Do not judge so that you may not be judged. For with the judgment you make, you will be judged. And the measure you give will be the measure you get. Some people really like this teaching of Jesus, and some people really do not like it. It's always been the second group that I find most interesting. Those who don't like it seem to be those who feel like they just should be allowed to judge anyone for anything. They feel like others have a lot of things wrong with them and that they should be allowed to tell them about it. Oh, they articulate it very nicely. How else are they going to know that they're sinners if I don't tell them? We all know people like that. Sometimes we are people, if we're honest, like that. It's usually these people who do not like Jesus' remark. They'll try to skip over it quickly. They'll try to explain it away. Or they'll focus on that part that immediately follows Jesus' advice, asserting that they've done their work now already. They've taken care of that log in their eye, and now they need to help me with mine. Why do you see the speck in your neighbor's eye, but do not notice the log in your own eye? Or how can you say to your neighbor, "Let me take the speck out of your eye," while the log is in your own eye? Some will even bristle at the suggestion that they got logs in their eyes. "Well, I've only got a speck in mine. Shouldn't it be the other way around?" they ask. Maybe, quite probably, but, you know, that's not for us to decide. And indeed, how are you going to know unless you actually stop and tend to the forest of trees growing in your own eyes? Jesus' advice is simple, yet we rail against it. Jesus' advice is straightforward, yet we really don't want to accept that it might be true. We want to judge others. We think we need to judge others. We know others have sins. We think we see them. We only want to help them. We only want to take care of them. At least that's what we think. That's what we say to ourselves and to others to justify our own judgmental ways. The church has been doing this for a very long time, since the very beginning. We can see it in the obsession of the New Testament church with the dietary regulations and the blood purity laws and circumcision. It was the question of the inclusion of self-avowed practicing Gentiles in its life. Many in the early church perceived problems with those Gentiles, sins that needed to be dealt with, ways of living and behaviors that needed to be put aside. Despite Jesus' advice to take care of your own sins, the early church was quick to move on to others. First, Jesus said, "Take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your neighbor's eye." They said, "I've taken the log out of my own eye. Now it's time to help you with yours," as if one ever is really cured of log eye syndrome. And the church didn't stop with self-avowed practicing Gentiles. We've been doing it for centuries, for 1,900 and almost 90 years. We've never actually dealt with the trees in our own eyes. We've never actually dealt with log eye syndrome. Indeed, once we take care of one log, another seems to jump up to take its place. It's like plucking out gray hairs. Cade's been whining and complaining about how he's getting so many gray hairs in his dark head. Oh, and I've warned him, as Mom warned me many years ago, that if you pluck out a hair, a gray hair, guess what? Two more come back to take its place. Isn't that right? Same is true with the logs, with our sins, with our awareness of our sins and our inadequacies. Once we've discerned one, if we're honest with ourselves, there's always another one to come along and take its place. There's always another one to have to deal with. Our focus, when it comes to the logs in our eyes, the forest of the trees right here, really needs to be on ourselves and not on others. Jesus' statement, it's not relative and it's not a suggestion, it's an absolute. Do not judge. It's in the plural present active imperative case in Greek. Me krinete. Do not judge. Jesus didn't say, don't judge until you've judged yourself. Jesus didn't say you can judge after you've judged yourself. Jesus didn't say it's a good idea if you think you might want to withhold judging until you've taken care of yourself. He said, do not judge so that you may not be judged. He even tells us why we shouldn't judge. For with the judgment you make, you will be judged. And the measure that you give will be the measure that you get. Well, that's very steep. It's also very true. I know some people who have been willing to risk it. They feel so strongly about the trees I think they see in my eyes that they're willing to be judged just as harshly as they judge me. Actually, they don't really think there's anything as bad as them as they perceive in others, so they're pretty sure they're safe to beat up on them however they please. I've been asked, why are people in our culture these days so judgmental about the church? Why do they reject the church or Christianity or Christians and don't want to have anything to do with us or religious institutions as a whole? Well, it's this. We're getting the measure we've given. For nearly, as I said, 1,990 years, we've been quick to judge others. Like hypocrites, we have done precisely what Jesus unequivocally told us not to do. Do not judge. Say that with me. Do not judge. Again, it's not a suggestion. It's in the imperative case. That's the command case. Do not judge so that you may not be judged. Jesus calls it like he sees it. You hypocrite, he says, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your neighbor's eye. And no, that's not license that some people want it to be, to go speck hunting once they think they've dealt with their own sins. That's the hypocrite's conclusion, my friends. Oh, I'd love to go to that one myself, but I can't. Because every time I take a log out of my eye, guess what I see? Another log. If I'm true and honest with myself, that's always the case. Discerning our own failings and shortcomings, rather than being all fired sure about the failings and shortcomings of others, is what this is all about. If someone invites us to help, that's one thing. If someone, when I get an eyelash in my eye, oh my goodness, it feels like there's a log in there. I need help to get it out. I ask for it, my friends. That's one thing. But presuming the need of the other, when we've got trees in our own, the forest of our own eyes, is the height of arrogance and hypocrisy. And we ask, why does the world run away from the church, reject people of religious faith? Because we ignore one of these imperatives from Jesus that is so clear, unequivocal, without question, an order, a direction, an imperative. Do not judge. And yet, we judge. Oh, my friends, if we can simply rid ourselves of that tendency, of that desire, of that inner felt need to turn and to judge others while ignoring the forest of trees of problems and sins that we have in our own eyes, if we could only turn our attention to ridding ourselves of these logs that plague us, then and only then can we ever be truly open when someone comes to us and asks for help. Tend to the log in your own eye before you ever presume to help a sister or a brother with a speck in their eye. Because when we tend to those logs, we see more and more and more in our own eyes. That's spiritual honesty. That's openness to the power of the Holy Spirit in our own lives. That's what we are called to see and to recognize within us. Allow the humility of God's grace so to work in you that you can see anew and afresh, again and again, repeatedly, the logs, the beams, the forest and the trees that God wants to help you remove, so that you can be open to the grace of God in your life for others. Hear the word of Jesus. Do not judge. What an amazing question and an amazing calling that God has for us. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Let me dwell.